are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is, you God Geeks, the show you've been waiting all week to listen to, where theology meets geekology, and this week we're going to get right into it because we get in some good stuff. Do we need the local congregation? Do we need to be a part of a church?
Good and also, question.
Do we need a new trailer for Rogue One?
Yeah.
I think we need as many as we can get so we can unpack what this thing is going to be. We're also going to get into Stephen King's The Dark Tower. The website is godgeeks.com. I am your co-host, Bill Brimer. I'm at Bill Brimer on Twitter. This is my main man.
At the James Cleland.
The only one on Twitter. We're going to get right into it with Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It's Jedi Mind Tricks, and we'd like to welcome you to the cantina. And I'm sorry if you're a droid. You're going to have to wait outside. Yep. We don't serve your kind here. But if you're not, you know, you're welcome here because this is where we talk theology. We talk about things that either that we've encountered or that are on our hearts or that people have asked us, people have wrestled with us as pastor, as a vicar, as a teacher, as me being a pastor, James being a vicar, and to me very much a pastor. I guess we could do a whole show on the idea of that title, you know, a vicar being.
I don't want to right now because I just wrote a bunch of essays about it. I need a break.
Well, no problem. But as also a teacher And just in life, we get the opportunity to talk theological things, and it really fuels the show, both the geeky things that we get into in real life, are just as prevalent as our theological things, and that's why we're the God Geeks, and that's why we love talking both geek and God, and so. You had a sort of a thought that you thought would start us off.
I think it'll get us on a nice tangent.
It's actually a great subject from what I know of what you're going to talk. So just go for it and kind of talk through the premise and then we'll discuss it.
So there's this quote unquote issue in the church right now of a lot of young folks, AKA millennials, who have left the church supposedly. And, you know, a lot of them come back when they've got kids. And there's Barna research about it. There's all these different things about it. But I've heard a lot of questions from kids and from youth and from other, you know, people in their 20s and 30s, like, why do I even need church? You know, if I believe in Christ and he saved me and I've got my Bible, can I just sit at home and learn on Sundays and rest?
And so what they mean by why do I need church is why do I need to go be
why
a
do
part
I need
of
to go
a
part of
a congregation?
Yeah, why do I need to be an active member in a congregation? Why? Yeah. And I think a lot of them have been told things like, well, you need to, you know, give back to the community. You need to, you know, learn more about how to be a better Christian. You need this, that, and the other. And I think some things maybe have fallen flat or I don't know what. And my generation, right after high school, they went off to college. Mom and dad weren't telling them to go to church anymore, and we stopped going.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are coming.
I don't think your generation is alone in that.
I don't think so either, but for somehow that's how the conversation goes right now within church materials and whatnot and out there on the interwebs, that somehow we're different, unique, that we all just left, and now we're coming back because the church serves a need with our kids, and we see a use with the church. And you know, I'd love to discuss that and maybe get down to the, why should we be part of corporate worship in a church and a congregation?
Right.
And,
well, there may be some truth in the idea that, you sort of, you know, at the age where you go off on your own, you typically, unfortunately, yeah. And I am a prime example of this, so I'm not throwing anybody else.
I'm a prime example too.
as you tend to decide for yourself that you're going to do certain things your own way, and church typically doesn't fit that pattern.
No,
I mean you're typically chasing a lot of different things.
Yeah,
and. At a time in life when you probably need the congregational church most, you decide that it's not for you.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think there is something to the fact that then when you begin to have kids, you start to think, this is something that I grew up with and I need. And just from it. From a human, not even a faith standpoint or anything else,
yeah.
I think that's pretty common. I'm not letting this generation off the hook and saying that it's any better than any other generation. I'm just saying I don't think it's new.
It's not new.
I don't think you need research to say that.
No.
That's
what bugs me a little bit is a lot of people talking about this as a new phenomenon.
Well, this is the problem with taking an entire generation of people and putting them all in the same category.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Because I remember as, you know, my generation, so I'm gonna date myself here, and I don't really care because
the gray in your beard does it.
It's part of my. It's part of the I don't care part. It's part of my generation.
Sure
was
is.
Because we were Generation X, like
we
you,
don't care.
Like X, like there was. We were just angsty and like
yeah.
We didn't care about you know anything, and we didn't you know and what's interesting about that is when you start hearing that about your generation. You begin to adopt that identity.
Yeah.
And so I think it's sort of a self-fulfilling sort of label that has been attached to generations. You know, millennials there's so much literature out there now about millennials this, millennial that. And most of it, in my personal opinion, is garbage.
Yeah.
I think because I happen to have a connection with a few groups of millennials and I find them to be fascinating, wonderful kids that
smart.
Have great questions.
Yeah.
And yes, they've grown up with different technology and they have different sort of social interactions, but so what? Every generation has had that. And
that's not new.
And to take one label and put it on all of them is absurd. That being said, it doesn't surprise me that this is a question that comes up. What do I need the church for? What do I need the congregation for?
I can stream it online now. I can listen on a podcast and hear a sermon.
Okay, yeah.
You know, there's different ways to hear the gospel possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of it probably stems from a misunderstanding about what worship is.
Mm-hmm.
This is my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That this is people's probably view, because I've heard so many people say this, and I've heard people from my generation, and I think it's not true. It's a poisonous mentality to say you don't need a congregation. It's a poisonous mentality to say you don't need that gathering.
Right.
If you are in Christ, then you do need that gathering.
Right.
Because that gathering is not about you going and hearing instruction, although that does happen.
Sure.
That gathering is not about you checking something off the list that you did something good.
This is what we do on Sundays,
right?
And
that gathering is not about you giving back to a community, although that is a benefit or a part of it. That gathering is not about a lot of things that people think it's about. What it's about is not about you doing anything. What it's about is what's being done to you by God.
Yeah.
And God brings you to Him in His Word and with His people gathered together. And He does so through preaching, and He does so through the sacrament. The Spirit of Christ in you is calling out do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
You know, the gathering is for the benefit, not of God.
Yeah, he doesn't need
no. The gathering is for the benefit of the people of the church.
Yeah.
And it's really not a choice. You're not going to go to hell if you don't do it. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian if you don't do it.
Right.
All those things are true, but that doesn't make it beneficial to not do it. And it doesn't mean that it's not a command to do it, because
right.
it is.
Right.
You know, you are to gather together, and you're to do so often, and you're to do so with the proper preaching and sound doctrine. You're to do so with order and under proper teachers,
yeah.
and you're to hear and receive absolution, forgiveness of sins. You are to partake in the Lord's Supper. This is a huge part of the Christian life, if not the primary part of the Christian life.
Yeah.
And all the other benefits, like community and serving one another and loving one another and connecting outside the church doors
yeah,
with your congregation,
out of.
Those flow out of
yeah.
the gospel being preached
yeah.
and the sacraments being administered.
Yeah.
And so the idea, I don't need this, I don't, you know, I don't benefit from it, it's not something that's required of me, all those are really actually not true. It's not required of you to be saved. I mean, it's not going to keep you out of the kingdom of God if you don't walk through the doors of a church every Sunday morning.
Right.
I mean, obviously, it's untrue to say if you're not a part of a local congregation, then you're not a part of the church. That's not true. But that doesn't mean that it's not important
or
that it's true.
It's necessary, but not absolutely necessary.
Right, yeah.
But definitely necessary.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that helps or if that...
No, that helps.
You know, or if anything in there that I said sort of...
So it got me
stuck
thinking
out to you, yeah.
a little bit. I think one of the disservices we might do towards, you know, millennials, any generation, is we've started to really segregate the church by age. And I get the mentality of, or get the reason why we do it, the rationale. You know, we want to meet each age group's specific needs that they have in that age group and age appropriate teaching, that kind of thing. But what I've seen develop is kids and youth who go to church and they just do youth group.
You know, right.
Young adults who go to church and just do the singles group. And as
right.
soon as they find a partner, well, now it's the young married group or whatever. And we lose a lot of the community involved in everyone at once hearing the word, receiving sacrament, etc.
Right.
So yeah, a lot. My generation when I went off, it was like, well, the churches I was in didn't have a young singles
yeah, this
group.
Is,
so
this
what am
is
I supposed to do?
Well, yeah, and this is a valid concern that has been raised not just by you, but by I think a lot of people is that are we seeing the sort of fruit, if you will. Of separating out generations. In other words, if youth grow up in the church
mm-hmm.
and they're never connected to the larger congregation.
Mm-hmm.
They're more connected to their own age group.
Yeah.
And they never have a sense of belonging in the congregation.
Yeah.
And therefore,
and I'm a youth guy, so I get, you know.
And therefore leave home, they never felt like they never had a sense of belonging in the congregation
right.
anyway, so it's not missing in their life.
Right.
So I do think there's a valid point there.
Yeah.
I don't think that you throw out the idea
no.
of age appropriate stuff too, but I think it's, you know, we can always swing the pendulum the wrong way.
Right.
But I do think there's major benefits in cross-generational gatherings
yeah.
where there is word and sacrament and then there's also benefits in addition to that, more age appropriate stuff and discussions along the,
right.
the age, where you can understand things better with people of your age. Because it's a fact that the brain processes things differently.
Totally.
And as I don't have to tell you cause you're a teacher
yeah.
and teachers know that more than anything that you just can't do the same things
yeah.
with every age group
yeah.
and have it be effective. And so, and part of what the church is called to do is to teach and to instruct. It's not the primary thing.
No.
The primary thing, in my opinion, is proclamation, not explanation. But we do need explanation.
Yeah.
So don't hear me say we don't need to be trained and taught. We absolutely do, and it's of paramount importance, but not absent of preaching and proclamation and sacrament. These things, we know the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments are supernaturally beneficial to the believer. Beyond simple teaching and instruction. In other words, we need to hear about Jesus, but we need to be given Christ.
Right.
so we don't just need to hear about Jesus. We do need to hear about him, but we need to receive him. And that's done in a congregation and hopefully done in a way that distinguishes between law and gospel, that that does things in accordance with God's word. And that's when I really think you become maybe addicted is not the right word, but reliant upon that gathering of I need it. I personally need. I need. There is something, and we actually touched on this before we started recording the show about the therapeutic, and the word therapy really means healing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what technically it's a it's got its roots in Greek, and it means to heal. Therape is to heal, but the therapeutic nature of confession. And absolution. And by the way, absolutely, I mean corporate confession. We are sinners. You know, I'm a sinner and I need absolution, and I need to hear that your sins are forgiven, proclaimed upon me, right? For the unburdening of my conscience. But in addition to that, a church body of believers, and even if it's not a pastor, a brother or a sister of the faith that I can go to and really confess.
It's therapeutic.
Share the darkness that I have. And I was able to, as a pastor, I'm able to hear people's confessions in a private manner. And I know for a fact that it does lift a huge burden for someone to be able to share their struggles and their sins and be honest about it. And also to hear the absolution, but the therapeutic nature of coming clean. And that doesn't happen over the web, over podcasts or streaming. There's nothing wrong with streaming, great content. There's a lot of great content out there. There's also a lot of garbage out there, but that's not the point of the gathering. The gathering is not, just feed me information.
Right.
The gathering is actually feed us Christ.
Careful saying the gathering, because that's what they call the meeting of all the juggalos when they get together.
Okay.
So the gathering. Okay. I understand we don't mean that
I
gathering.
I mean the assembly, the ecclesia, the assembly of believers.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. That came out of left field, but that's all right. That's why you're on God Geeks, you know?
It's
cool. But what a fascinating, actually, a discussion topic and question, and an important one.
Yeah.
And for us God Geeks.
Well, and this weekend, we're going to Comic-Con. And
right.
I think one of the appeals of even something like that is it's a community. There's people of like mind, and there is something therapeutic about that. So, you know, what better to gather around than the word and sacrament, and I mean even better therapy.
Yeah. Well,
than
there's
anything
a there
else.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's always an appeal in gathering with people that are like-minded.
Yeah.
Or
it
that
can be dangerous sometimes.
Yeah, I mean if that happens to be a gang or whatever, you know, speaking of the, you know, the gathering of the whatever they are, the insane
juggalos. Yeah, yeah. I see
people, you know, which by the way, insane clowns are showing up.
Oh,
all
I know
over
it's
the,
a thing right
this
now.
This is what I hear.
Yeah.
And I have not heard if this has happened in Texas.
Uh-huh.
But I can imagine that it would end in a firearm.
Yeah,
being,
don't do it in Texas.
I mean, I think you'd have to be as dumb as possible to go this stupid clown route.
How
here
did we
in Texas.
Get on this? Oh man.
I mean, well, hey, it is what
it's
it is.
It's time to wrap
we're
up.
In a fallen world. Fallen world. That's all right. We're gonna roll right into this week in geek.
Might
where
talk
hey,
about
we're
some
gonna
clowns
talk
then
about
too.
Hey, like he said, we're gonna talk about some Comic-Con stuff. But hey, yeah. But seriously. if you're, I think, you know, I would not be the first to say this on the subject of being connected to a congregation. Man,
it's so important.
If you're not connected to a congregation, it's hugely important for you to find one that you are receiving the gospel, the proclamation of the forgiveness of your sins and the sacrament weekly as a Christian, because these things were promised by Christ. That these things do actually strengthen and feed our faith.
They
you know,
do.
That gospel, that good news is what created faith in your heart in the first place.
Yeah. So go get some more.
And it doesn't mean you need it over and over and over again because you forget, and you need to do it in remembrance of Him. So
amen.
That's it for Jedi Mind Tricks, and we roll right into this week in
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, fellow rebels. It's time for some Star Wars talk. It's This Week in Geek.
And you Imperials out there.
Hey, yeah, we'll take them too. Hey, the new Rogue One trailer. You just watched it for the first time.
Set my eyes on it just now.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts?
Here's what Here's what they're it's obviously, I mean, I'm pumped about the movie.
We
know that. The trailer's really cool. I need to watch it several times.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on
frame
my fifth
by frame
viewing,
advancement.
So.
but here's what they're up against.
Yeah.
that I just now realized. Unless there's something that I don't know about, and I don't think that this will happen. Here's what they're up against. We are familiar with so many of the bad guys.
Yeah.
We're obviously Vader's in it, which is what everyone's should be pumped about.
Yeah.
The original stormtroopers are in it.
Yep.
So there's a nature to it. We're familiar with the Death Star. We're familiar with all these other things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they're introducing rebel characters that we don't know.
We're not familiar with them.
That we're not familiar with.
Yeah.
And I don't have any information to indicate that we will be familiar with any of the rebel crew.
Right.
This will be all brand new characters to us.
Right.
And that lends itself to you're less attached to these guys.
You're rooting for the
bad
guys.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if you're necessarily rooting for the bad guys,
yeah.
But you're knowing that this is sort of a mission where they're gonna get the plans.
Yeah.
And they're probably all gonna die because
that's
the narrative that's the only narrative you know that many of them died in getting us these plans, if not all of them.
Right.
So it's fascinating because I'm only just now starting to realize that I'm probably not going to buy in a whole lot to these. It'll be cool to see.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're up against what they're not up against with the continuing story.
Right.
Because even though we may be introduced to newer characters like in 7.
Yeah.
We
know they're going to move on.
They were brought to us in the presence of older good guy characters,
and
they have time to develop them.
Yeah.
This is one movie where you may get to see some really cool new good guys.
Yeah.
But they're not going to last through this past this movie that we know of.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try a little bit of the tying into the old, maybe there's a glimpse at
the first three,
the
first
someone
three
from the first three, possibly, or you know, I don't know. I will
which
say
some,
too,
which
I,
some might say that would make it even worse, but no,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. You start rooting for the bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Star Wars Rebels,
well,
the TV
only one,
show, does that
the
too.
The only really knowable
Obi-Wan
is Obi-Wan, and he's a hermit.
He is at this point.
So
yeah.
There's that. That's why I say there's nothing to indicate that he would be. I mean, to me, it would be too much. It would be too
yeah,
much.
He's
of
not
a
tied into
to,
the rebellion.
No,
at
he's
that
in
point.
Hiding,
yeah.
And he's in hiding yeah. for good reason. And Vader's involved with this. There's no way Obi-Wan's coming out.
No.
So that's what
It'd
I mean.
Be hard to tie
there's
that
not
in.
Even if there's Jedi's.
Now there are robots. There are robots that could make an appearance. C-3PO, R2-D2.
Oh, I think without a doubt those guys will be.
They'll be somewhere in the background.
They
at
have
least.
To be in. I mean, if they don't at least involve C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Yeah. They would be the only characters to then exist in every Star Wars.
Well, they
movie.
Need to. They
I
need to
so.
Be in there.
I think so.
Well, I mean, to me, R2-D2 needs to have the plans.
Yeah.
I mean, that needs to be how they get. The plans through in a droid.
Oh, because there is... Okay. Wonder where R2-D2 is after episode 3.
Well, so yeah. I know where he is at the beginning of 4, and Leia is using him to put the message in him. So he's R2-D2 is obviously being used by the rebel forces at that time.
Yeah.
So my whole thought is if he's a reliable enough droid...
Right, he's been used before.
That, so
and there is hints that he knows that he... R2-D2 knows things.
Well, R2-D2... I feel like if R2-D2 and C-3PO are not used in Rogue One,
such a
it's
geeky
bad.
Conversation.
It's bad. It's bad form if they don't use them. Because it's sort of the... I mean, like, you know you're going to get Vader.
Yeah.
Not just because he's in the trailers.
Right.
But you know you're going to get Vader because why would you not have Vader?
Right.
I mean, why would he not be involved? In the, I have the same feeling about, you know, C-3PO and R2-D2. Now, what could happen, which I don't think will, because I think we would have already seen this, mm-hmm. is that there could be some other really cool Wookiee. That other
Ooh,
than Chewbacca
cool.
that was involved at some yeah. level, but we haven't seen any
There's
hint
some other
of that.
Cool aliens that might fill that
yeah.
role, but I mean
I like the idea Wookiees. Though of why not have a Wookiee in there? I mean is Chewbacca the only Wookiee? I mean
no,
obviously
there's a whole bunch
we know that. We know that he's not the only Wookiee.
Yeah, we've all seen the Star Wars Christmas special.
You know,
we know there's
so,
other Wookiees.
but we'll probably get more Chewbacca in the Han Solo origin
yeah,
story.
Yeah, we'll get him in
there. That'll be...
You'll get your Chewbacca fix.
Oh, and Chewbacca's going to be in the next... I think in the next...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, he's going to be...
Yeah.
Somebody's got to fly the Falcon.
Yeah.
I mean...
Come on.
Nobody... All I'm saying is, like Maz, I like that Wookiee.
I like that Wookiee. All right, let's talk some Stephen King. Does that sound
okay.
good?
Okay.
So you, I finally got you to start... Or maybe you started on your own.
No. It was your
Dark Tower series.
It was your suggestion that I begin consuming the Stephen King Dark Tower series. And here's what's funny. I couldn't remember now. I'm already on book 2. And I couldn't remember if you told me that there was going to be a graphic novel or there was going to be an actual TV show.
Well, there are graphic novels and
okay.
they're great.
Okay.
They're really good.
Okay.
And there is a movie coming out in February. That will be followed by a TV show.
Okay. So this is a re-announcement of what you've already told me, which the initial conversation on the show.
Yeah, it
because
was about
at
the movie.
At the
yeah.
time, I was reading all Cormac McCarthy's books.
Right, right.
And I finished all that. And so...
This is a good thing to read after that.
You were telling me, you know, move to Dark Tower.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really super cool.
Yeah.
I feel like... I'm only like partially through the second book.
Yeah.
But I already feel like the payoff has already come that I like the first book was good.
Yeah.
But I already and I don't know what's going to happen yet. It may be a big disappointment the rest of the book.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I already like the second book more than the first book because
right.
more information is coming forward.
Right.
But I'm also like my point about the Star Wars deal, I'm attached to the main. I'm attached to the gunslinger character.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So he's, I'm invested in him, right?
Yeah.
And this is about his journey, and there's so much more at stake. The further you go in a series like this, in
yeah.
a long drawn out story,
yeah.
where you have a protagonist.
Oh, you get
that,
so
that you,
tied to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of my point with the challenge that Rogue One is against. You know,
yeah,
and not
you
to mix the two worlds, but
attached.
Hey, it's all very geeky.
I'm going to remember you said that in about 5 books. I don't want to tell you anything, but mixing worlds. I like that phrase. I like that.
Yeah.
So you'll see real soon that.
Well, I can already tell there's
mixing of worlds.
Yeah. I mean, in book two, I mean, you get, he's doing some really, really genius, Stephen King. I mean,
yeah.
He's making some genius moves
mm-hmm.
in the way that he is allowing it all to unfold mm-hmm. because he's really doing science fiction.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't.
It's a science fiction framework for fantasy.
Yeah.
And like we were saying with Westworld, that's a tricky thing to do.
Yeah.
To have the both.
Well, it's got fantasy, it's got
Western and
it's got an old West, but I don't even know for sure, and this may come to light more.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the main character is a Western type figure, but I don't necessarily think the world he comes from is the old West.
No, it's not.
So, I mean, what he's doing is he's borrowing, like Star Wars,
uh-huh.
he's borrowing from different, you know, he's borrowing like Star Wars. I mean, Stephen King's is not doing this specifically, but Star Wars borrows from kung fu, from mysticism,
yeah.
from science
yeah.
fiction, and Stephen King is doing similar things with the way that he's weaving the story together.
Yeah.
He's bringing you into a modern realm. He's taking you into another completely different sorcery fantasy realm. He's
yeah.
bringing you to Old West type things, and so it's fascinating how he's done it.
It's going to be cool as you watch how those pieces come together even more and make sense within the framework he builds. It's really cool. So you're going to get some flashbacks in later books that give you details about Roland's world,
okay.
which is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too much else, but it gets bigger and bigger, and it's in a good way.
There are major... Christian theological
yeah,
themes
definitely.
And
it's very King.
There are a lot of overtones there
mm-hmm.
That you can tell that he has a background in Christian teaching, like not
yeah.
that he's been taught some serious theology.
Yeah.
I don't know of what sort of
right
school
right.
of theology he's from,
right.
but.
I'm pretty sure a Catholic background.
It really creeps
or
into
Anglican,
his stories,
yeah.
major parts of
oh,
his storyline.
Yeah. I like how he does it.
Yeah,
most of the time it's
yeah.
it's kind of cool.
Fascinating, good stuff.
Yeah, enjoy that. Have fun.
I mean, it's.
I got something for you when you're done with all that.
Not for the faint of heart.
You might like when you're done. Ready Player One.
Okay.
That's my next recommendation. It's
okay,
not
well, I'm so far from
stuff.
Done with
yeah,
Dark
you're
Tower.
So far, but
I mean,
there's
7 books.
7 books.
And he's still writing more?
No, I think we're done.
Is it done?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, car is a wheel. So.
Wink, wink. It's done? Or all right. Well, hey, guys, we love you. Send us an email. Send us a comment
yeah.
On the site, godgeeks.com, and we'll see you next week.